Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Oi, oi, Savaloys, welcome to a new episode of the Football Ramble. It's Monday the 22nd of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vidushan Hantharaja.
Oh, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. What a magnificent Monday morning we have. I'm in the presence of Pete and Vitushan, or Vish to your friends.
Yes, yeah. Vish is grand, yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling a little bit like Scrappy Doo here, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. But I'm very much looking forward to it.
Why do you feel like Scrappy Doo?
Because he came in and ruined everything, didn't he? But no, I'm very glad to be here.
We're very glad to have you.
You're like a CGI alien we added in post. Hello.
Scrappy Doo, a blast from the past there.
Yeah. We're too young to know Scrappy Doo, bitch. Come on.
I was going to say, you've really thrown me there with old Scooby Doo. Scooby Don't, more like Peter these days.
Why?
Because it wasn't very good cartoon.
No, it wasn't very good.
Is he cancelled as well? He's not cancelled as well, is he?
I've no idea.
He got up to some things in that castle.
Could have taken it off BBC iPlayer. Christ.
Oh, Scooby. We how little we knew thee. Yeah. You old dog.
That's what Charlie, our producer, is doing, just editing a lot of the back catalogue of the Ramble. Getting him back up there.
Oh, we'll be out in Qatar with the boys soon, won't we?
Yeah.
Well, Keys and Gray, my giddy aunt. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we had a fabulous weekend of Premier League action.
I mean, look, it's great, isn't it? We've got the biggest COVID death rate in Europe. Yeah. And yet...
What are you talking about that for?
We've managed to bring the Premier League back. I don't know how we've managed to do it.
Well, popular demand. Popular demand, Peter. Yeah. That's why.
It's the will of the people, isn't it?
It's the will of the people. It's a middle finger to common sense. It's everything.
It is the populist will of the people, which seems to be prevalent in certain places. Yeah. But, ladies and gentlemen, it was a great weekend of Premier League action. Are you, Avish, are you a crowd noise on or crowd noise off type of guy?
I'm a crowd noise off.
Yeah, I am as well.
I quite like the kind of a cappella football that we've been privy to. And also I found out that I don't know how to turn the crowd noise off. So it was quite annoying on my Sunday when I sat there to all this football. And I thought that because of the delay in broadcast for live, I thought the person controlling the sound was there at the ground. So therefore would kind of get a jump start on getting it through TV. Yeah. But not at all, because all the noises that I heard yesterday certainly were all on delay.
Oh, there was a wonderful moment. I think it might have been the Everton match and a post may have been struck. And it just went, oh! Yeah. Ooh, like there was no mix at all. He just went key one, key two, back to key one again. Yeah.
There was a chance in the Newcastle match where they'd already pressed the goal celebration.
Yes.
And then they had to cut it straight away.
Is that what distracted you, Alan?
It is interesting. Pete, I know you're out the DJ game at the moment, but would you fancy being a stadium DJ with the noises?
I love to have a big bank of faders just fading up and down. Don't touch that racism fader. Oh, a lot of that in the Premier League last season, weren't there?
A friend of mine lives near Loftus Road, where QPR, obviously, that's their home ground, and he said they were testing out the sound noises at the stadium. And he said, I got a bit suspicious when, from Loftus Road, they obviously, maybe they don't have enough noise from the home fans, because all he heard was, England. You're taking it from Wembley.
I like that.
You know.
Got a lot of time for that.
Well, if they're going to take stuff from Wembley, then a fake Mexican wave. If they could get that going with the cardboard cutouts.
What is the sound of a Mexican wave?
Boredom. Just people going, nothing happening on a pitch.
And then someone booing when part of the crowd doesn't do it.
Yeah, that's right.
I like it.
Well, gentlemen, where else to start? There was a lot of good stuff, actually, in the Premier League.
That was a good start.
But it doesn't happen often. Newcastle United, baby.
Yeah.
3-0, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It was...
Stevie Bruce.
We're watching Joe Linton doing what he did in the first half with his chance.
Yes.
Made me think...
Come on.
How many days was it? How many did 35 hours of Premier League football without him
straight to the negativity.
Scoring a goal.
Yeah.
He makes me so angry.
He scored in a 3-0 win!
Yeah, and then he did that celebration, like he put the ball under his belly and sucked his thumb. He's clearly having a baby soon, so I hate to say that bedroom. All over the place, it will be.
Honestly,
the front yard, DFS, smashed up beds, left, right, and centre.
You haven't seen
that man is not an on-target striker.
You haven't seen your team play for goodness knows how long. They win 3-0, which is rarer than two holes in one. And you start talking about when you start talking like that about a man like Jolin,
and slanging off his house as well.
You're an absolute. I mean, Vish, are you particularly impressed with Newcastle United? Because that's back to back wins in the Premier League.
Yeah, they were very impressive, weren't they?
Especially, I love that stat. Is it valid?
Brucey actually said at the end, he said 106 days ago we beat West Brom and Southampton. We've changed the system, and I think that's what pleases me most. Yeah, that system you changed was you played a championship team and then a team with only 10 players. Like, that's how you win a football match as Newcastle manager. Yeah.
Unbeaten in 3 months.
I know, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, Vish, we'll get to your... we're going to out you straight away as a Manchester United fan, but that's fine. And you can refer to them as United on this podcast, which will annoy Pete. And that will get...
Sheffield United as well, so...
It's true, yeah.
Double
put
rude.
Put them to the sword, though, didn't you? If your team won 3-0, would you be as angry as Pete?
Oh, you know what? I am one of those Manchester United fans who's been pretty dour recently. I think I would be, actually.
Would you?
Yes.
I think I'd be one of those, you see, piping up about just papering over the cracks, even if they're while they're on this like 15 game unbeaten run. Just more nonsense. Paper over those cracks.
Yes, team Vish.
Well, Joe Linton did score his first goal at St James's Park, his first league goal since August last year, of course. Sunderland fan and our fellow Rambler, Jonathan Wilson, tweeted in reference to John Egan's red card, "Is there anything more pointless than being sent off for preventing Joe Linton getting a run on goal?" Well, Jonathan, he scored the third.
Yeah, well, you get him in that 6-yard box, he's found his range, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. You must be pleased for him, though, Peter.
I kind of felt a little bit sorry for Sheffield United because they were forced into a back four that they clearly weren't used to. So they were just confused. I love ASM, I call him ASMR, with a passion. He makes my heart sing, and just to see him put the ball on the back of the net was wonderful. A great goal from Matt Ritchie as well.
It was a nice strike.
The keeper has to be. The keeper has to be at fault for that as well.
Do you think that?
I actually thought Henderson should have done better for ASM's goal and for Ritchie's goal. I think he gave him too much of a sight at that. But to be fair, Ritchie hit it really well. So Maximum hit it pretty hard. Mm-hmm. But then I suppose we're talking about Premier League keepers here.
Yeah.
And so when we think
talking about your keepers as well.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a bad weekend for Manchester United keepers, yeah. But you know, it feels weird to say, oh, he hit it pretty hard when you're talking about a Premier League goalkeeper, you know. Yeah. So
apparently there's a bidding war between Manchester United and Chelsea for Henderson. I think that's been downgraded to a skirmish.
Is that right?
Very much.
But he's on loan for Manchester United, so they wouldn't have to bid for him, though.
That's probably Ed Woodward thing. He's good, which is probably signing, actually, yeah.
Imagine that when Sheffield United representative drops him off at Old Trafford, because that's how it happens. And then Ed Woodward comes out with like 40 million quid, thanks very much. And they're like, right?
Just drive. Cheers. Just drive. I was actually quite heartened by Joe Linton's goal because I know Steve Bruce has got some pelters, you know, about Joe Linton and how he's could have. It's not about scoring goals, even though strikers are about scoring goals. That's why he spent that much money on a striker. But he worked very hard yesterday. Mm. And I think the thing about him and Almiron as well is they've kind of had this feel of two misfits in that front line. But they do a lot of good work. And Almiron is someone I've admired just because he runs and runs and runs. And you can tell there's something about him that would really endear him to fans if he was just able to tick up that extra notch of quality. Mm-hmm. And I think he started to do that, you know, since getting that goal against...
God, it was...
It was like 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was about to say.
He's got a few since then to be...
Yeah. Just say any team and people will just go, oh, yeah, probably was, wasn't it?
Yeah, but then seeing Joe Linton score, it feels like, you know, in this weird, weird project restart world, this could end up being quite a good finish for Newcastle. And, you know, if this takeover does happen and Steve Bruce is ultimately probably going to lose his job, because if you're going to spend that much money on players, why wouldn't you spend a decent amount of money?
So you're a Bruce out kind of guy as well.
I'm not really, but it kind of
to me
it makes sense. If you're going to break the bank to bring in certain players, you'd obviously do so for a manager, wouldn't you? So,
but you sort of look at Joe Linton and he the first half. That shot that he made in the first, you can sort of put that down to a striker who's either low on confidence or just rusty as hell, which we saw a lot in the first week of the Bundesliga, and I spoke about that when that happened a few weeks ago. But like, he did put himself about incredibly well. He is a very physical, frightening striker, but I would say that Sheffield United were at sixes and sevens because they weren't used to playing that system at the back. They should have been. They should be planning for something to go wrong and lose a player in that situation. But I think he would probably do quite a good job with another striker. They've tried Muto, they've tried Gale, they've tried, you know, I'd take Elias Sorensen at this point, to be quite frank, and who's been knocking them in left, right, centre in the lower league. So I feel sorry for him because he's been given the number 9 shirt. He's not an out-and-out striker. If he can just kind of camp out in the 6-yard box, all right, I'll take £40 million for a Gary Lineker style fox in the box. But that shouldn't be his game. We saw a player like Solomon Rondon play last season and do everything well. And this, for £40 million, is a pale imitation. And I think Rafa Benitez was... I'll bring him up again! Rafa Benitez was right when he said he's probably not worth even £16, £17 million, in my opinion, for that job, for that role.
But
they won 3-0.
They won 3-0. Before we move on, you know, you say obviously Sheffield United going down to 10 and blah, blah, blah. But when Bruce changes the system like that very difficult to stop it, as we saw. In the Merseyside derby, it ended 0-0. Mike Dean's beard.
Yes, I said that's what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. Beards. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to the beards.
I'm enjoying the, very much putting in myself in this bracket, the more kind of shaggy haired approach from some people in the Premier League at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're holding up your end of the bargain.
Yes,
as well.
Absolutely. But not with a beard, though. Vish, yeah. are you what do you
what's
think
your
about
hair
Mike
usually like, Vish?
It's a lot shorter. My hair at the moment, I can't stand it, to be honest. I thought I'd go down the route of shaving it like everyone else in lockdown, but yeah. I think I'm at the age now where I would need kind of written confirmation from a man above that it would grow back. Very kind of fearful of that.
I'm on a promise. I'm on a promise.
Well, in writing. I mean, we all knew Deeney was going to do something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people have used lockdown to better themselves. Mm-hmm. Some of them haven't been able to do that. We've all just kind of tried to get through this period in the best way we can. And so no judgments. But, I mean, Deeney knew what he was doing.
is it
absolutely knew. There's a Merseyside derby I'm preparing for here.
All eyes on me. All eyes on me. Is it better than Andy Carroll's Red Dead Redemption side quest?
I mean, that was the facial hair of the weekend for me.
He looks like a man good. Selling whale oil in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, he looks like an unlockable character. Like, you know, you get those packs midway through like a game cycle where you've got to pay an extra 40 quid for it. I would pay an extra 40 quid for that.
Yeah. Oh, you're really talking Pete Donaldson language here.
I need half of my lamp. You need to go to the next town, kill a man.
What would Andy Carroll call his horse? Because that was a big thing.
Oh, yeah, that was a big thing, wasn't it? I mean, he's quite horse-ish himself, isn't he? Would he ride himself to the next town and commit to crime? I don't know.
I think in tribute
like
to
a transformer, just transformed into a horse.
Battle cat.
in tribute to his old guardian, Kevin Nolan, would he call it Kevin? Big Kev. He's riding Big Kev into town.
No, he'd call his homestead. He'd call it his house Kevin, wouldn't he? Because that's who used to live with him, didn't he?
That's true.
His housekeeper.
Yeah, fair enough. But anyway.
The match.
Yeah. 0-0, not much happened. I think we've covered it.
Are Liverpool just going to limp over the line here?
I really hope they do. I really hope that.
Yeah, Manchester United fan
there. No, because simply, like, they have done all the hard work to get to this point. And I reckon if they wanted to, they could have all come back 5 stone overweight through that down and but we're definitely not going to lose this now. We just need 6 points. Let's just do it as tediously and with as much
like
fun.
Like string man City along.
Yeah, exactly.
They might let people in the stadium last game of the season. So shall we just stretch it out?
Yeah, exactly.
But they just can't seem to break teams down. And that's,
I think that was one of the starkest examples of what we're going to see as teams start taking to the field. And I suppose, you know, most teams have played apart from Burnley. The first half are just absolutely dire. I was at Watford Leicester on the weekend, and that only kicked off in the last 5 minutes of added on time at the end of the game. And I likened it to when you rock up to a party while people are setting up, and it just feels a bit unedifying. You feel like you shouldn't really be here for this. I'll come back a bit later when it's kind of started to get going, because you're just standing around.
Vish, you've seen our timekeeping. We have never turned up early for anything, mate.
So it's I thought it was in keeping with that. And then
you didn't leave before the end of the game with that one.
No, I had to write my report for the Independent, didn't I?
Oh, well, there you go.
Where is your report? Sorry, I couldn't take it anymore. A better party down the street.
I hid under a big teepee.
but you saw at the end of that game that it really kicked off at the end, and Everton nearly won it with that Tom Davies chance.
I was so excited.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, unless I missed something, but I think Joe Gomez just with that slide. I think his deflection took it onto the post. It's hard to tell with the angles, but if indeed that is the case, you know, amazing sort of last ditch piece of defending from him. But you're right, Everton had a flurry of late chances, and actually Everton will be pleased that they didn't lose the game, because bear in mind it is Liverpool. But with Ancelotti setting them up like that and the late flurry, I don't know. I think if you're an Everton fan, you walk away going, wow, that was a missed opportunity because of that late flurry of chances. But of course, the way that it's panning out now is if Man City are playing Burnley tonight, you'd expect them to win it. You could set up, you know, Liverpool playing Manchester City for the league title, which in these lockdown days, that's something that we could look forward to, Peter.
I mean, obviously, Liverpool, what's the next match? Crystal Palace?
Yes.
So I don't think Palace losing is a foregone conclusion in the slightest. I think they're quite a similar team to Everton. I think they're quite strong there. I think they'll set up quite well at the back I think they'll find it very, very hard to break them down. So I think it might go to another week, guys.
Well, I'll tell you something. The way Roy the Boy Hodgson's got them drilled, I mean, if Manchester City, if the ban happens with them in the Champions League place, then who would it be? Manchester United will be in the kind of default fourth position, if you like, for Champions League. So what, Palace are what, 4 points off Champions League spot potentially?
Daring
come
dream,
on!
There's your goal music. Now everyone's got a goal music. Yeah. Involved. Did anybody say, no one's talking about this, unless I've completely missed it. Mm-hmm. Yannick Bolasie outside Everton in full cycling gear.
Oh, I didn't see this.
Outside Goodison Park on Saturday, full Lycra, sunnies. Mm. He looked amazing.
Yeah.
I've no idea why.
Oh,
he
right.
put it on his Twitter. I keep finding these little bubbles of Twitter that no one seems to be talking about. There has been a protracted, in full Japanese, argument between Newcastle's Yoshinori Muto and Keisuke Honda.
Is this the dark web? Are you? Is this why
I'm on the dark web with some Japanese footballers? They're arguing about whether kids should do homework or not. No one's talking about it, guys.
Oh.
And it's down to you, Vish. You've got a job. You've got a job for the Independent. You need to be writing about the inter Japanese fight about whether kids should do homework or not between two Japanese internationals, and also Yannick Bolasie outside Everton in full cycling gear.
So, what was Keisuke Honda's argument? Is he pro or against?
Keisuke Honda is against kids doing homework.
Okay, because
I've no idea.
Hang on,
the Google translation is not great. So I'm not quite across the tenor of their argument, but I'm excited that this beef is happening.
You know what we should do? We should get the Google Translate and then we should play it out.
Yes.
Reenact it on this pod.
That's so nice. Did you know about this story? Did you just
guess
Honda was involved?
No. Pete mentioned Honda was involved.
And
immediately my thought went to when he was shopping himself around for different clubs and saying, you don't need to pay me, I just want to play for Manchester United.
Manchester United, didn't
you? That's right. Of course he did.
I mean, if anyone from Manchester United is listening, I am also up for that same
deal. I'm sure. Absolutely. So, where were we? Yes, Everton, Liverpool, 0-0.
You're just thinking about Yannick Bolasie in Lycra, aren't you, mate?
Bolasie didn't play.
No.
He wasn't in the squad, which...
Well, he turned up a day early, didn't he?
In Lycra.
Yeah, that's what...
Completely the wrong thing to wear.
Burnt so many calories, it's like you're knackered, mate. You've outdone yourself. Before we go to a break, Brighton 2, Arsenal 1, Neil Morpay at the centre. Mm. My goodness, Vish, what an afternoon he had. He scored the winner, burnt Leno having a right old go at him on the as he's being taken off on the stretcher.
Agony. He looked like he needed oxygen, but he's still got.
I mean, it was obviously sort of covered and talked about very well, but it's just one of those unfortunate things, wasn't it?
I think it's one of those things that strikers, or to be fair, players do to each other. They give each other a bit of a nudge. You see it on keepers all the time, and by and large, they get away with it because they tumble to the floor and they're basically okay, aren't they? There's a little bit of handbags, and that was, I think, that was both deliberate and unfortunate. If that's
I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? So. You know, he obviously nudges Leno just to put himself about, and then Leno lands awkwardly and ends up doing his knee. I don't actually know how long he's going to be out for, but it looked pretty serious.
He did look very bad, yeah.
They kept on sort of saying, we can't show you one camera angle because it looks quite nasty. I was like, well, I can't have to reserve my decision whether it was okay or not, whether it was violent.
Yeah, don't tell us that.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Exactly, because, you know, we're quite feral human beings nowadays. We're immediately going on the internet to search for it.
Remember that Eduardo one where his foot nearly came off the end of his foot for Arsenal, for crying out loud, you know? We're desensitised to this sort of stuff now.
It's true, actually, yeah. The one thing about Mopay, like, obviously he goes on to score the winner, and I covered...
Oh, what a goal it was.
It was a brilliant goal. I covered their game, the first fixture of this at the Emirates, and Brighton were brilliant, and they weren't as good because of obvious reasons this time around. But one of the things that really struck me, especially with Neil Mopay, what he said at the end of the game about how Arsenal needed humility and things like that, it was something that was highlighted on Twitter about how by I think it's Tim Stillman, who's still Berto on Twitter, and he said it was stark how when Leno went down, no Arsenal player remonstrated with Mopay.
Right.
And then only at the end of the game did they really kind of kick off with it. And I was kind of really thought about that, and you know, when I went through Mopay's interview at the end as well, and I thought footballers and sportsmen in general, they don't really slag off their opponents, even if it's an arch rival, because they know these words can come back to bite them.
Yeah.
But with Arsenal, there doesn't seem to be any jeopardy there in players speaking openly about how they think they're soft, how they think they're
a pushover. Or Troy Deeney has said this.
Yeah, although Troy Deeney could say a lot and probably back it up on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Neil Mopay, Brighton are struggling, and he still feels so comfortable to come out and say this to them. no fear of kind of any kind of recompense or anything like that. And I thought that is absolutely stark about where Arsenal are at the moment, because when you I don't even really think the Invincibles. I think, you know, if you look to the teams after that, you would never say that about Arsenal, because you'd be fearful of the next time you came across them. And I thought it's kind of endemic of the way that Arsenal seem to be, is they seem like a really fun place to play football, because, you know, you can play entertaining stuff, you're playing at a great ground, but also if you don't quite make it, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah. And I think it's really telling that if you look at how Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has talked about moving on, and if you look at the way that Oxlade-Chamberlain and Aaron Ramsey moved on, it really strikes me as players who think, this is a lot of fun, but like, I kind of need to grow up a bit. You know, I'm kind of losing my career a bit here. I need to move on.
But I don't know if it is as fun as it was now, because I totally take your point, but you think about it, you know, recently they did get to a Europa League final. They were finishing sometimes fourth, you know, dropping down to fifth. Now you look at Arsenal and you think to yourself, they are probably seventh, eighth, maybe even like the ninth best team in England. And you look at, you, as I've mentioned this before,
you're fourth at the moment.
Yeah. You look at the shirt and you think, this should be a bit, but actually look at the players. It's not a bad squad, you know, for crying out loud, you know, eighth best team in the country.
Yeah, you can leave a 350,000 player on the bench, but for giggles.
But how many of those players would get into to better sides? I mean, Aubameyang's obviously got quality, Lacazette's, you know, decent. There's one or two others. Don't want to be too stupid about this and say, oh, they're rubbish. Blah, blah. But they are not the Arsenal teams, even under Wenger, when they would win an FA Cup or finish fourth or fifth. That team, the team's gone. They're the eighth best, I would probably say.
Saka doesn't even want to put pen to paper. That's how ridiculous.
That's the thing as well. They could easily lose a lung player like him, but also, you know, what you're saying there, it doesn't look fun. Yeah, I think even the players who thought it was a bit of a laugh are thinking, God, I don't know if this is worth the hassle.
But like, imagine, remember when Gravesen left for Real Madrid and Arteta kind of replaced him and became player of the season for Everton. Everton team loved him. The Everton supporters completely loved him. Man of the match every week. He knows how industry and hard work can transform a side. And he's looking out there and he's looking at these 10, 11 players just like, what are you doing? Why are you even there? And
so much needs to be done.
Well, Marcus, on your point about, you know, you look at the shirt and you kind of think, oh, no, but it's Arsenal. I remember, you know, a few years ago having that same thought with AC Milan.
Yes, another one. Yeah.
And you kind of think, God, they should be doing better. And then you look at their squad and you're like, no, they're probably about right.
Yep.
And I think, yeah, you do really get that with Arsenal. I think Arteta is absolutely the right man, as you know, for the reasons that Pete's outlined there, to come in and change it. But How do you get rid of 11 players?
Yeah.
Hey, you bring Joe Hart in on loan.
Now you,
Joe Hart
get
on
him
loan.
In.
Get him in. Come on.
We've got to mention Brighton, though.
We do.
I'll tell you what. We do. Their stadium DJ, whatever we're calling them, I don't know. He had a lovely touch with the booing at the end.
Oh, that was outstanding.
I missed this. What happened?
I actually thought, you know, without the sound, there was a lot of really interesting talk. Dimitar Berbatov on... Can I plug the Independence podcast on this? Or
why? Do what you like.
But on that, he said that it'd be interesting because a lot of players who do really well in training, because there's no pressure of a crowd, they might find that their level steps up on the field as well. And I wondered actually, because Arsenal fans are quite quick to jump on, you know, in the first 20 minutes, they can be quite unruly, understandably so, given what they've had to sit through. I wondered, without fans, maybe the Arsenal players could step it up. Nah. And then the DJ, in a moment of inspiration, just throws out a load of booze at full time, even though Brighton have won in the last minute, and it's at their ground.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Love it.
I absolutely love it.
Big time.
Yeah, but great win. Vital win for them, obviously, down there. So, and this is the thing, we'll talk about the sides down the bottom in the second half, but, you know, a brilliant win. And that goal from Maupay, I think it was lost, actually, how good that goal was in the melee afterwards. So well done to them and to him. Let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Petey, why don't you give us a Betway 4-to-score update?
Oh, I haven't done this for years. I haven't done this for yonks. Yes, let's have a recap of Betway's 4-to-score. Every single week, you can pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches and beat him with the chance of winning a huge gargantuan jackpot. In a remarkable turn of events, although West Ham versus Wolves wasn't one of the selected games, so he didn't need to pick a goal scorer there. It was Raul Jimenez who opened the scoring. Can't get it done when it matters, though, Ramble.
How many times? Very annoying.
Next time, perhaps. First game was Bournemouth versus Crystal Palace on Saturday night. Luke picked Wilfried Zaha. It was Milivojevic.
Milivojevic. Yeah. Lovely free kick.
Yeah, lovely free kick. Beautiful. Andy picked my beautiful Fabian Schär in the second game. Even a fake Fabian Schär goal for me is he will have driven through defence, taken on a couple of men, lashed it top left. It didn't happen, but. Yeah. Yeah. Newcastle versus Sheffield. Yeah, that didn't actually happen because ASMR. I keep on calling it ASMR because he's so beautiful.
Have you got
to
Azamir
me.
Begovic on the mic?
No, it's like ASMR. You know that thing where people stroke combs and you listen to it when you go to bed. It gives you tingles.
I know. I didn't know that actually, yeah. And I'm quite proud not to know.
It's
that.
Like a visceral ASMR, you have a visceral reaction to it, and it's all sensorial. When you see him pick up a football, it's like watching Hatem Ben Arfa play. It's like, oh, he makes my spine tingle.
What I did there is I wanted to assume that I knew that because I didn't want to look stupid. Then you explained it to me. I thought, no, I'm quite happy not knowing.
It's not a sex thing. Marcus.
Oh. It absolutely is a sex thing.
I'm in.
Marcus, you picked Mason Mount in Villa versus Chelsea.
Yep.
On Saturday afternoon. Villa defender Connie House, of course, scored his first Premier League goal of his career. Well done him and unlucky Marcus. And last night, Jules picked Mo Salah to score. As we said, though, it was goal. But that goal from the Villa player, of course, meant that there were no winners this time around. Nobody went for that. So the £100,000 jackpot rolls over to this Friday. This Friday is an FA Cup special. Newcastle United gunning for that semi-final berth, I tell you what. So we'll be back for another round on Friday. So look out for that.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how annoyed will you be if Newcastle make it to the semi-final?
It would be so annoying if they got to the final and I couldn't go.
Do you know what?
I'd be so.
That would
upset.
Be it, wouldn't it? Because you hate their success. Yeah. That would be the thing.
Indeed. But you would be sort of reminiscent of Jonathan Wilson's father, who apparently Jonathan said this on the podcast we did. I think it was when the podcast with Mark Watson, the Blizzard,
right.
Scotland nil England 2 the other week, and he said when Sunderland won the FA Cup at Wembley, and was it 1973? Something like that. His immediate sort of the joy immediately turned to upset and just went, he'll never be as good as this.
I've long said that my dream is Newcastle having a bit of an FA Cup run, so I'm happy with this situation.
Yeah.
And just imagine if Man City rotate for whatever reason.
Happy for now. Well, they've got to concentrate on the league still to play for.
The Champions League as well.
Well, that may not be to play. That may be taken out of their hands, of course, with Manchester City. But what two teams going for Champions League spots are Spurs and Manchester United. They drew 1-1. Let's get straight to Roy Keane. Now, people very, very, very unhappy, suggesting for those outside of the UK didn't see this, with David De Gea's mistake, as he very much subscribed to that. I didn't think it was that bad, but he was saying that he would be swinging for him. I thought it was
not helpful.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, Roy Keane has been in lockdown for a long time.
Right.
And think of all the stuff that's been going on that he's not been able to air on television. So I think this was just a kind of...
That's a man without a rumpus room. That's a man without... It's a man without a man cave and a boxing thing.
Man who needs some ASMR, yeah.
Yeah, but he was...
Will somebody get Roy Keane some ASMR? Stroke a little hairbrush next to him.
Can you imagine his face?
Well, I'm not enjoying this.
Yeah.
The,
What do you think?
That rant was absolutely incredible. And it made me think, actually, if you ever wondered what Jack Nicholson's character in The Shining would have been like had he made it out of the hotel alive, there it was at halftime. Because... He wasn't just like, I would throw punches at him. He was like, I would be fighting him. And I don't know why. There's something so beautiful about saying you'd fight someone rather than that I'd take a swing at him, I'd punch him. No, I would fight him.
I want him to come back at me.
Yeah. And because fighting as well, it's, you know, a punch it's is too. There and done, but it's like, it's more than that. He could knock me down, but I would still come back because I am fighting him.
Yeah.
This is a fight, and there is going to be a winner of this fight.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
and
it's going to be me. If Michael Douglas's character had sort of won in Fallen Down, whatever it was called, that would be sort
a lot of spoilers in here. Jack Nicholson doesn't get it out of the hotel. Honestly, lads.
If you haven't seen films from the 1980s or early 90s, then up yours. E.T. goes home. Anyway, but yes, I mean, I thought actually for Bergwijn's goal, and I, by the way, Bergwijn scoring goals is a beautiful thing. Mm. He loves scoring goals. He's so happy. May that continue. But De Gea would have wanted to do a bit better, but it was fiercely struck and it was a one-on-one, you know, blah, blah, blah. I thought actually Maguire would be more disappointed than De Gea, Pete, because caught a bit flat-footed, and that can happen with defenders, but he just breezed past him.
I think ultimately for me, though, De Gea has had a set of matches where it's not been one particular thing. Do you remember when, like, David James was flappy in the 90s and he'd flap at everything? He's like, I'm flappy David James. He'll never come for anything high. And keepers have real kind of like blind spots in some of their positioning and stuff. But he seems to be rotating the areas of his skill set that seem to be kind of letting him down to here. Like, shot stopping is the bare minimum for a goalkeeper. So I think it was probably more De Gea's fault, but Maguire, expensive.
What do you think, Vish? Was it a howler from De Gea? I didn't think it was that bad.
I mean, it shouldn't have gone in, I suppose, and therefore it is a howler, if you know what I mean. Maguire is more culpable there. I don't know where he was going, which is tough to say of an international defender. You've got to generally think they know what they're doing.
Probably thinking they're going for a bit of a run, but he didn't have the ball. I don't have the ball, shit.
It was like someone tapped him, you know, like this prank you play as a kid or as an adult as well, when you tap someone on the other shoulder and they turn around. It was like that.
Yeah, it was a bit.
And it was, I mean, I think Keane was right to be angry at that. I think he definitely let his...
That angry?
No. I mean, he's never allowed to... He never should be that angry.
Yeah.
But the... I think Maguire was more culpable. Bergwijn did hit it well, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, as Pete said, De Gea's flaws seem to be so kind of well-rounded, if that's what
I know what you mean.
That it's almost, actually, he's making his mistakes, but United haven't really had too much of an issue to address there because no one really knows how to target him because they're so different. Yeah. If, as you said, he was flappy from crosses, people would be bombing him as they did when he was when he first came into the league. Yes. They would be trying to get really physical with
him. That's a good point, actually, If you spread it, do something shit in a different way.
Yeah.
But he's got so many flaws.
He's not very good at his right or his left as a left back.
Ooh. He did make a lovely save when he tipped over the bar. Real positive, though, for Manchester United was Pogba coming on, linking with Fernandes. I mean, they look fantastic together.
Well, Luke Shaw, after the game, gave him a testimony. He really made the difference, and that's how far Paul Pogba's fallen.
Yeah.
Luke Shaw is saying he's been brilliant. He was brilliant that match, Paul Pogba.
Yeah, I don't think Paul Pogba's quality was in doubt. It was more sort of applying it, I suppose.
Oh no, he was great. He was one of the best players for Manchester United when he came on.
But when you see him like that, Vish, I mean, you're reminded this is a World Cup winner. He's
lovely,
phenomenal player with ridiculous talent. Yeah. I mean, that pass when was it Rashford he set through? It reminded me. I remember in the World Cup final where he played. Just it was sublime, and Rio Ferdinand afterwards went, "Oh, that was just naughty, naughty, that
criminal."
Well, I'm a Paul Pogba apologist, so But I think to be serious about him before a bit giddy. A lot of the reason that United fans and I suppose impartial observers have been frustrated with Pogba is that he's often tried to do too much because he's been comfortably United's best player, you know, not just midfielder, best player. So he's kind of taken it upon himself to be the guy who does what he did against Eric Dier, where he can beat a player, but also spray those kind of passes, 60, 70 yards, try and thread kind of unruly through balls that, unless Rashford and Martial are playing, don't really go anywhere because they're not really work on the same wavelength as him. And I think what we saw when he came on was that he came on and saw in Bruno Fernandes somebody he could trust, who was probably a lot, who is naturally because of the positions a lot closer to him than Rashford and Martial.
And Fernandes has said, "Look, I'm looking forward to playing with you, mate."
Absolutely, yeah. Because it started to get actually the other way where United were too reliant on Fernandes.
And there was a danger of that happening.
Yeah, and I think now what happens, honestly, because of the pandemic, it's getting more likely that Pogba's going to stay, and therefore United suddenly have kind of a midfield axis that rivals the best of them. And, you know, granted, before we get talking about how they could, you know, replicate what Liverpool and Man City have in their midfield three, they need to show that consistency working hard for a full game, not just 15, 20 minutes, wherever it was and on Friday. But I think it was very encouraging. You also got to remember that Spurs looked absolutely shattered by the end of it. And to bring on a World Cup winner in that situation is kind of, you know, a bit of a dream. Really.
Yeah, true enough, yeah. I mean, Spurs themselves. Mourinho was fuming, of course, with both penalties.
Was he? That's so unlike
him. I was about to say. But the first one, I mean, I think we're all probably agreed it was a penalty. The second one clearly wasn't. And there you see the benefits of VAR, Pete. Yep. But what did Mourinho say after the game, if I could remember, about Bruno Fernandes? He said, you know, well, you know, I'm from the same country as him. I know how people can operate on the or something like that, you know.
Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah. He loves it, doesn't he?
He's one of those, he is one of those people, Mourinho, that he can be offensive to his own country.
Yeah, he can do the whole job lot, can't he? Well, Manchester United, look at that performance. I mean, Spurs weren't terrible the first half. You know, they did look again. Kane coming back, of course, is very good news for them and Son and so on and so forth. The only person I feel a little bit sorry for with Kane coming back and the Euros being suspended next summer is old Danny Ings, who's still banging them in. And he was like, I really thought that I might have a chance there. But who knows, he could be the backup striker in due course. But let's not talk about England just yet, ladies and gentlemen. Let's move on to West Ham and Wolves. 2-0 to Wolves, of course. David Moyes could be heard. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to have the crowd noise off, because when Pablo Fornals goes through and blazes one over like that, you can hear David Moyes' pain.
How did it manifest itself?
What was it like? No, well, he went through and all you hear is
shoo Pablo, shoo.
finish.
Pablo, no.
There's it reminded me of when Bertie Vokes was when he was Scotland manager and they just lost to Germany, and I think they'd Was it Euro 2000? They could have qualified for Euro 2000.
No, that was Craig Brown, I think, was still in charge of Euro 2000. It would have been, I forget votes. He was probably after, so it might have been 2002 World Cup.
So he's giving this post match interview right after, and they've narrowly lost, and I think it's to a penalty, and they dived, and all you can hear in the background as Vokes is trying to give this somber post match interview is Christian Daly going absolutely mental, going, fucking bunch of fucking cheats. and Bertie Vokes, and the camera's on him still, just goes, Christian, no, Christian. As if he's about to do something really unruly. And
the Williams are listening.
And I thought about that when you could just hear Moyes shouting at Pablo Fornals. And then he just loses all sense of himself at the end when Fornals blazes it over. And he's like, oh.
Yeah. That was the noise. Oh. Like he just missed the last chopper out of Saigon. Oh dear. Well, I mean, poor old West Ham. Wolves, though, I mean, Adama Traore, just
bring him on. West Ham are like, they're a slow team anyway. Yeah. They are exhausted.
It's just
and
like,
Adama Traore. Do you know that sinking feeling? You know the best horror films are like, you know, Get Out, when she's going for the keys in her bag, and then that sinking feeling the guy gets where she pulls out the keys and you realise that she's in on the whole fucking thing. Or
I haven't seen that, so that's a spoiler.
All right, the gimp in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah.
When he rocks up.
Yeah.
I wasn't
expecting that.
Yeah,
was
exactly.
He on it as well? Absolute just disgrace.
Like, it's just like, oh, God. Your stomach just drops.
Yeah.
Darth Maul's lightsaber.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Yeah.
You think it's a normal lightsaber? Yep. Double. Oh, no. God.
Yeah.
He's quicker than all of us. He's going to kill us.
Yeah, don't.
And he was involved in everything.
Don't say what happens to Darth Maul, though. Okay. Turns good, opens a bakery.
To be honest, I can't remember. I only watched that one. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that is the last thing you want as a West Ham defender. Yeah. You think, right, we've stuck in here.
There's a lot of space between our lines, and,
yeah.
And this man will exploit them.
I mean, Traore, like, he sort of made a bit of a rod for his own back at this whole substitution thing. He's like, can I start? And it's like, but you're so good as an impact sub, you didn't realise. But he was magnificent when he came on.
Yeah, he's basically like, he was like a cheat code when he came on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Have you been juicing this player on FIFA?
Well, I mean, that cross he puts into, Raul Jimenez. I mean, if you're a striker, you're just like, you've done all the work. I mean, that's not to take away the movement from Jimenez. Of course, does very well to shake off the defenders and heads it in. But for a good striker like him, that is such natural movement. It is just beautiful.
That's Linton food.
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's the thing with Adama Traore. I suppose we've always known about his physical attributes because it's obviously quite stark when you look at him because he's so well built.
Yeah.
But whether it's Nuno Espirito Santo or one of the other coaches at Wolves, but they seem to have unlock something within him where technically he's just immaculate now. Mm-hmm. You remember him when he was at Middlesbrough. He would just run down blind alleys. Uh-huh. And I don't know how. I kind of really got the impression that there was a stage where he was kind of, Wolves were on the cusp of loaning him out. Maybe not getting rid of him completely, but thinking, right, well, this hasn't really gone as planned. We've spent a lot of money on him. And then he just flicked a switch. And the last two seasons, he's been incredible, really. Obviously, there was that Manchester City game at the Etihad where
he
really tore them apart. But yeah, that in particular, it was so much more than just pace and beating a man to whip in that cross.
Yeah.
As you said, I mean, it was Beckham-esque, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was,
Do you think whoever spoke to Adama Traore, do you think Manchester United is like, whatever you said to him, you said that to Daniel James?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I suppose it's kind of like how we talk about those two players. Mm. And this is obviously going into a much broader conversation beyond analysing players. But like, it is interesting, like Adama Traore gets talked of being the quick one and Daniel James is the young, exciting live wire, if you know what I mean, in terms of how they play. Whereas Adama Traore is pretty much close to the finished product now.
Has Traore had a cap yet? I don't think he's not played a full cap.
Well, because there was a situation where he was going to play for Mali, because I think his brother plays for Mali.
Right, okay.
And then,
he did under-17s and stuff for Spain, didn't he?
Yeah. And then I think Spain called him up and he said no, but not a kind of outright no, I think.
Right.
I think, or he's been part of a squad.
Right.
Okay, when is he eligible for England, I think?
How many years?
How long does it take Manuel Almunia to qualify?
That's right.
Have you seen those stupid kind of citizenship questions? They give people that I couldn't answer.
Yeah.
Oi.
Pedro Neto's volley, Peter.
It was a lovely one.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you'd have to be a West Ham fan or, an Aston Villa fan or something not to appreciate that. Just, yes! That's what we watch this sport for crying out loud. What a peach. Speaking of Raul Jimenez, obviously scored his 14th goal in the Premier League. Did you see the quotes he said the other day? He's being linked to some of Europe's top sides. And normally, player was kind of just, look, I'm very happy where I am.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit more reserved.
I'm flattered. To be linked with all these clubs.
He's on the phone with Tom Cruise. Yeah. Show me the money.
When he's asked about, the sides like Juventus and Manchester United and so on being linked to him, he said, it's very cool. It's an incredible thing to be on the radar and on the lips of those teams. Okay, fair enough. But when...
Don't put your lips on the radar.
Especially not in the current climate. But, okay, just right. You've gone as far as you can go.
Yeah,
down that route. Mm. You're still playing for Wolves. You're going for Champions League spots. All the rest of it. And he goes, when he was asked if he would like to move to one of these sides, he replies, "Whichever one that signs me would be incredible." He basically just went, "Anyone's fine." He's got 3 years left on his deal at Wolves.
I think that's a player who's 29 who's only ever done double figures twice. Going, this is my last chance for the money.
Well, dearie me.
Hello, China.
Well, not yet.
Not
come
yet.
On,
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, to be fair. Like, he's...
I mean, he's such a delightful player.
Yeah, I mean, part of me hopes he really does just stay at Wolves, because it does seem that...
What they've built there.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose it's a little bit different given the George Mendes thing.
Yeah, he'll ultimately decide.
Yeah, but also, like, we're kind of lost from the days of teams being able to build something because they just get picked off. Yeah. And they're able to do it because they have the money to pay those players if they get a bit restless. With Jimenez, as you know, Pete,
that is the worst insult.
How about that, eh?
Farewell.
Right, see you later. Off he goes.
But as Pete was saying, he's 29, and I do wonder if that kind of rules out a few teams from really going bigger into him. Whereas I suppose a team like Juventus, who are used to dealing with players of that age, wouldn't have any qualms about it. I do hope he stays because it's a joy to watch in that system.
Absolutely.
I like him.
West Ham are a bit of bother them, aren't they?
I think Sheffield United have to be worried as well, because I mean, not worried that they're going to get relegated or anything, but they were having a lovely old time. Yeah. First couple of matches, it could be indicative of how the rest of the season is going to go for you. Yeah. These things kind of set in. The rot sets in.
Let's finish, chaps, with a little bit of Championship chat, because it was lovely to have that back. Well, it was for a bit until Fulham lost, but Leeds lost to Cardiff. That was a surprise. Yeah. And West Brom drew 0-0 at home to Birmingham City. Now, West Brom would have been kicking themselves, but then, of course, you know, you'd probably take a point, wouldn't you, on the ground for top spot and so on and so forth.
Bielsa was blaming all of the water breaks.
Reach whatever.
It's like an inverse Jack Charlton. Too much water. My players are too hydrated.
They're bloated. Look at him.
Look like being dredged out of a bloody river.
An inverse Jack Charlton.
Do you think that's what happens? There's so much water that, you know, when you have a bath for too long and your fingers get all weird. That's it.
Happens to your football boots. Yeah. Your football boots go all wrinkly. That inverse predators.
To be fair, I think the water breaks have changed things. Certainly in the Premier League, they've kind of totally stopped teams dead, and they've come at the right time, in quotation marks, for the team that have been under the pump.
And for me, I'm confused. Obviously, there's no player names on the back.
Yeah.
There's millions of substitutions happening. There's water break. What's happening?
Yeah.
There's no crowd noise.
When's Ben Arfa coming on? Yeah. They've got to hand it to Brentford, though. They beat Fulham.
They did.
When you go to Craven Cottage when it's pumping like that. I'll tell you what. You wait so long. I feel for the fans. You wait so long for football to come back. Yeah, bollocks. Mitrovic, though, had a full head of hair, Peter.
He did. Yeah, he looked good, didn't he? It's not unlike your... I've seen him... You
he's way off me.
Hair.
He's way off me at the moment. Yeah, way off me.
Somebody said it had a vibe of the lad who turns up for five-a-side but then gets told not to come again because he's too violent. It's like kind of long hair, kind of mullety kind of...
Yeah, I see what you mean.
He looks great, though. I like
it. Yeah. What about Swansea, though, beating Middlesbrough 3-0? Ryan Brewster with a double. He looks decent. Nice to see him there.
I couldn't tell whether like Borough tightened up or just Swansea just took their foot off the gas second half. I mean, either way, like, Borough have to just sort it out very, very quickly.
Borough struggling very much. So, I want to see Brewster because so much has been talked about this young man, you know, very interesting character as well. Getting a couple of goals and who knows, maybe next season, Vish, maybe in a Liverpool shirt.
Yeah, you kind of forget about the players who aren't at Liverpool at the moment, or rather who are on loan. So, you know, you've got Wilson at Bournemouth and you've got Rian as well. But I think they're probably benefiting actually from being a bit away from that, because someone like Curtis Jones has suddenly got all the talk as the big up-and-coming player. And you realise that kind of like when they all reconvene for the next real pre-season, which is what, in a month away or something like that, they've got an incredible group of youngsters. I wonder kind of how many of them will actually make it. Do you remember like Arsenal back in the day, and I suppose Chelsea later on, when they had so many youngsters coming through, they just didn't have space for them, and they just had to offload them kind of bit by bit. And it'd be interesting to see, you know, it's all the benefit for English football really, isn't it, that these players are spread and the wealth kind of goes elsewhere. And we'll probably see that a bit with Chelsea, aren't we, for now that they're back buying players. So good to see Rian scoring goals. You do wonder with Brewster if there was a danger of kind of typecasting him as, and there's worse things to be typecast as, but as this kind of like young, socially conscious individual and someone that you'd always turn to for like a soundbite, or especially given the Black Lives Matter movement, you'd kind of expect to see him quite prominent. And so the fact that he's, as they say, sticking to football, it's kind of nice to see, because that kind of responsibility shouldn't really fall on a kid, should it?
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, people being sort of socially conscious and aware of their surroundings, were you disgusted that Nathan Redmond celebrated against his old team for Southampton?
Well, that's the interesting thing, isn't it? Because we're going to find out how many things players do for the crowd.
Yes, exactly.
So in the Bundesliga, obviously, they were talking about how there was so much more playing time because players don't when they get fouled, they'll roll around and they'll get up.
Yeah.
They're not playing up to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that's a great example of they're only doing it so they don't get pelters.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, did you see the speaking of playing time? You see the Galatasaray debacle.
Oh, flipping it.
It was.
Well,
they had a slim chance of retaining their title. 3-2 up, going into 6 minutes of injury time against Gaziantep. Mm-hmm. Gaziantep. An equaliser goes in, overhead kick, not a bad little goal. That gets ruled out for VAR. And then we head into the 11th minute of injury time at the end of the match.
Oh, it's so exciting when the clock goes 100.
Well, it took such a long time to sort of the disallowed goal. There's I think it was the keeper. The keeper conceded a 101st minute indirect free kick in the box. And he'd already been booked for a similar infringement as well. And then the defence conceded a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
105th minute.
Right.
Gaziantep, they score and it goes to 3-3. It's ridiculous. And so Galatasaray, they're not going to.
But at that point, are they thinking, right, we'll have him in the second half of extra time? Or what?
It was an absolute shit show.
Yeah.
That's unlike Turkish football to be
right? Jeez, yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, a lovely note to end on, Peter.
I know, right?
Lovely note to end on.
Chaos.
So there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. The Football Ramble is back tomorrow with another pumping podcast. That's the new tagline. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. Vish, a bloody pleasure, my good man.
Thank you for having me.
PED, pleasure as always.
Ta-ta.
We'll see you very, very soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.